Welcome to the Garden Basics with Farmer Fred podcast. If you're just a beginning gardener or you want good gardening information, well, you've come to the right spot. One of the big reasons I started the Garden Basics with Farmer Fred podcast was to address the, well, we'll call them the interesting times we live in, the coronavirus pandemic, and really how to actually make the best of what is now downtime. And I think that for many families and singles, this pause in normal life has given people the time to stop and think about, you know, what is really important to us. One of those realizations may be that for you and your family, you need to maintain your physical, mental, and emotional well-being. And one way to do that is to eat healthier. And that's a good reason for starting a backyard or a front yard garden, because the healthiest food you can eat is the food you grow yourself. You know who handled it, and you know what, if any, pesticides were involved in the growing of that food. And by the way, here on the Garden Basics podcast, we will discuss controlling bad bugs, plant diseases, and weeds by using the least toxic alternatives, and there are plenty of those to choose from. Growing your own food is a great family activity. It's an activity that can stay with you and your children for your entire life. And during this pandemic, you know what I'm thrilled about? I'm thrilled to see so many parents spending quality time with their children, teaching them life lessons as well as fun things to do, like learning how to ride a bike. Well, starting that backyard garden now with your family, or even by yourself for that matter, is like natural Valium. It soothes the savage beast. All right, maybe savage is too strong a term. Maybe everyone is just getting kind of snippy with each other by now. Well, gardening will snip off some of that snippiness. On today's show, episode 4 of Garden Basics with Farmer Fred, we'll talk with nationally known family life blogger Pam Farley. She's also known as the Brown Thumb Mama. She's got garden activities to do with your kids while you're all sheltered in place. Our favorite college horticulture professor, Debbie Flower, delves into your questions about controlling one of the most prevalent of springtime garden pests, aphids. And I'm going to have tips for you on how you and your family can grow one of the healthiest of all snack foods, popcorn. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do all of this in less than 30 minutes. Let's go. Well, here we are, well along to sheltering in place. How are you and your family getting along? Oh, sorry to hear. Well, have you thought about doing a little bit more gardening with your family, getting into the yard and doing some yard work? Certainly a great way to blow off some steam and grow some healthy food. And one person who has been growing healthy food for years and has been blogging and writing about it at our website, brownthumbmama.com, is Pam Farley. Pam, pleasure to have you on the Garden Basics podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. This is a blast.
Tell us about your yard.
Well, my yard faces south, so the best light is in my front yard. I have artichokes, strawberries, and some herbs and green onions growing in my front yard. My backyard is almost all swimming pool, so I have three raised beds tucked back in the corner where I grow loads and loads of vegetables for my family and our friends. And this year I am trying potatoes in containers as a fun experiment. So fingers are crossed.
And tell us about your children.
So my son is a teenager and my daughter is 8. So she is my primary garden helper right now. My son is my primary tech support helper.
So I would imagine they are at the age now where if you want to get them to do something in the yard, it has to be monetized.
My son definitely is work for hire. He has lots of things that he wants to soup up his computer. He wants to buy new video games. So outside of their normal chores, which we all have chores to contribute to the household, he's the one that definitely needs to get paid to help. But our daughter is still ready to get out in the dirt with me and just look for roly-polies and dig up worms. So she's still in it just for the love of gardening.
Oh, good. So in this time of self-quarantine and shelter, you have a willing family.
Absolutely.
Well, that's good. Now maybe we can offer some tips to those whose families may not be so willing, but they're looking for something to do together because, well, they have to do it together these days. What would you recommend?
Something that's fun for the whole family to do together, and you can even drag your unwilling teenagers out to do this, is to have a garden scavenger hunt. And this is something that you can, because everybody's going to need to go for a walk. Little ones don't mind if it's raining, but right now, as we're talking on the phone, it's a beautiful sunshiny day. So you can, grown-ups can draw up a list, and you'll know the ages of your children best. Preschoolers might need to look for a flower that's the same color as my shirt, or something with leaves that's bigger than my hand. Teenagers might look to see if there's a certain type of vegetable or plant growing in people's yards, or they might be challenged to look for a yard that's been xeriscaped, things that are appropriate to the age level of the searcher.
Just as a word of explanation, a xeriscaped yard is one that has mostly drought-tolerant plants, and it doesn't begin with a Z, it begins with an X. Xeriscape, very popular here in California, ripping out lawns and putting in plants that don't require much water in case there is a drought.
And different kids can have different scavenger hunt lists that they can go off of. I know when my little one has a clipboard, she feels like the most important person ever.
Well, this is great because you're getting some aerobic exercise, taking a walk through the neighborhood, and they're keeping their eyes peeled in places where normally they wouldn't be looking.
Exactly. You can't do the scavenger hunt on your phone. Sorry, kids. You have to walk around with a piece of paper and look around.
And what are the prizes at the end of the day?
That is a fine question. For little ones, they'll be happy with a certificate that you print out on the computer or something like that. Older kids are probably going to want to get out of one chore free card. That every parent is going to know what's the important thing for their family.
Or maybe you unlock the freezer at night for the ice cream.
Exactly. Or you get to pick the movie on family movie night next time. There's always something that is a prize thing in every family.
That's a great tip for families that want to do something together or have to do something together in this day and age. Take a walk, have a scavenger hunt, and get some exercise and learn some things about nature. By the way, if you want to learn some things about nature or get some great recipes and gardening, even though, Pam, you call yourself an attempting gardener, actually, you have a lot of great garden tips there at brownthumbmama.com.
Thank you. I have been learning and gardening in my city garden for upwards of 20 years now. So even though my last potato crop, they were all the size of golf balls, I keep on learning and I keep on trying. And everyday families can do this too. So I am out there to show everybody that I'm just a regular mom and everything doesn't grow great every time, but we can keep trying.
Plus, you have an emphasis on your website and your blogs about natural living and healthy eating.
Absolutely. So making your own cleaners, trying to get away from boxed food. I have a great recipe that's a copycat for those Red Lobster cheesy biscuits. Make your own rice-a-roni. Make your own granola bars is super popular right now because the kids are hungrier when they're not at school. And I'm also doing live videos on my Facebook page to show people how to do things like bake bread and make tortillas and make stuff from scratch that they might not have thought that they could do.
How is school being taken care of during this coronavirus pause in the action?
In our school district, I think every teacher and school are taking it on their own recognizance. We got a helpful email from our principal and from our teacher with ideas about things that you can watch, computer games that you can use. I'm also happen to be friends with a lot of homeschool bloggers, so I'm taking information from every possible portal and adding it together. So last night I needed to double a recipe. So my daughter and I went through and doubled all the fractions and figured all that out together. And I'm going to chalk that up for a math lesson.
Well, there you go. Plus all the horticulture and biology lessons you have by doing a little scavenger hunt during daily walks.
And there's so much you can do. You can stop by the nursery and get some plants and maybe test them out in different growing mediums. You could plant sunflower seeds and then plant a sunflower seed that you would eat for a snack and see if they grow differently, if the cooked one grows at all. There's little tiny kids will like the project that we all did in grade school where you put a bean seed inside a paper towel, a wet paper towel inside a Ziploc, hang it on the window. I think that's a traditional first grade science experiment.
And then if it sprouts, you can plant it.
Exactly. And they can see how the bean seed breaks open and it grows. And I remember when mine were little, they just thought they were just, whoa, like we've been doing this for years at home, guys. Wow, it's so cool.
Despite the fact you may be self-quarantined and you and your family may have to take shelter, you can still have fun. You can still learn a lot. I would suggest for more tips, you visit brownthumbmama.com. Pam Farley, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for a few minutes of your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Here on the Garden Basics podcast, we want to answer your garden questions. A couple of ways you can do that. Give us a call, 916-292-8964. That number again, 916-292-8964. You can either leave a message or you can text that number as well. Be patient. There are a lot of rings before we pick up. Another way is email. Send your garden questions to fred@farmerfred.com. That's fred@farmerfred.com. One benefit of email is you can attach a photo of a bug or a plant that you're trying to identify. We're looking forward to hearing and seeing your questions. And thanks for listening to the Garden Basics with Farmer Fred podcast. I appreciate all your support and all your comments. We like to hear your garden questions here on the Garden Basics with Farmer Fred podcast. We just found out how you can call us with your questions. Email, of course, you can send it to fred@farmerfred.com. Don't forget all the social media where you can leave a question. That includes the Get Growing with Farmer Fred Facebook page, @FarmerFred on Twitter, or Farmer Fred Hoffman on Instagram. Any of those will work. To help us out answer some of these garden questions, we bring in retired college horticulture professor Debbie Flower, who has been involved in horticulture throughout the United States. I'm paying her, I've probably in zinnias and pepper plants. It's a low budget program here. So Debbie, let's talk about a very common springtime problem. And that's aphids. And Rick writes in and says, I have a problem with aphids in my greenhouse. He says, I am surprised that the aphids survive. Some of them do dry up, but they still seem to be flourishing. I'm growing mostly greens, leaf lettuce, arugula, kale, and spinach. Do you have any suggestions on how to solve this problem? If I pull up the plants and replant, will I continue to have issues with aphids? Debbie?
Well, I think the answer would be yes. If he pulls up the plants and grows new plants, he will probably continue to have problems with aphids. Aphids love soft new growth, and he's growing greens, which would be lettuce and arugula, mustards, beet greens, things like that, where you do have lots of soft new growth because that's what you want to eat. So it's getting rid of the plants is not going to solve the problem. It might reduce the population for the moment, but it will not solve the problem. He could do some control on the plants he has now. A very hard stream of water on the leaves will knock them off. And once they've been knocked off, they don't always or very often do not get back up on the plant. But he's going to have to look at the bottom side of those leaves. Aphids often are on the bottom side of the leaves and direct the water at their bodies. You could use an insecticidal soap application, but I would also encourage him to modify the environment a little bit by planting, let's say, sweet alyssum in the greenhouse, or if the temperatures and such soil and things are correct around the outside of the greenhouse, and that will attract aphid predators that will then come in to the flower for their sugar meal, and then they will find the aphids and eat them as their protein meal.
That's a great idea for anybody that has aphids, and this could be aphids outside, and this time of year there's plenty of new aphids going after that new growth, just like you mentioned. And in a greenhouse, you don't want to use any harsh chemicals, and so sticking with insecticidal soap for one, or just that stream of water should help control them. Maybe put out a yellow sticky trap just to let you know that you have a problem before you start seeing damage to your plants. And like you say, aphids like to live on the underside of the leaves, so always pay attention to the underside of the leaves. And this is also true if you do some nursery shopping, especially if it's a cut-rate nursery or a big box store. Check the underside of the leaves of any plants you're buying and make sure they're clean.
Right, absolutely. He's probably fertilizing those greens quite a bit. And outdoors, we may, especially in spring, go out and fertilize things like our roses with nitrogen, and that causes a spurt of soft green growth, and that is very attractive to the aphids. So if possible, reducing the amount of nitrogen fertilizer used or eliminating it altogether will toughen up those leaves just a little bit so that the aphids are not so interested in eating them. I don't know if that will work in the greenhouse situation. And I had one other idea for that greenhouse. There is a company. There's more than one. There are many companies. They're called insectaries, and they actually grow beneficial insects, and you can buy the beneficial insects from them. And then in a greenhouse situation, you can release them in the greenhouse, and they will take care of your pest problem.
There is a couple of really good garden good guys that love aphids, ladybugs and lacewings. Now, they've done tests with ladybugs as far as purchased ladybugs and releasing them in a greenhouse. They tried this at UC Davis in their greenhouses, and they still, over the course of a week, lost 95% of the ladybugs. They just flew back home or flew away. So it's kind of hard to keep ladybugs around. Lacewings, probably a bit of a different story. I think lacewings is a good idea for a greenhouse situation. But again, any gardener, you don't have to, you know, go to that kind of expense if you just establish a lot of attractive plants that bring on the garden good guys. And generally speaking, those plants are flowering plants that are in the daisy family, the Asteraceae or composite family, that have daisy-like flowers. And the good guys love those.
Yes, absolutely.
Once again, you can phone in your garden questions here to the Garden Basics with Farmer Fred podcast, 916-292-8964. Email them to fred@farmerfred.com or leave them at the Get Growing with Farmer Fred Facebook page or at Farmer Fred on Twitter or Farmer Fred Hoffman on Instagram. We learned a lot today from Debbie Flower. Debbie, good job. Come back and do that again.
I would love to. Thank you, Fred.
We've been speaking today about fun things to do with the kids, and that, of course, includes gardening and also growing kid-friendly crops. And here's one they're sure to enjoy. It's popcorn. Have you ever grown popcorn? Yeah, you ought to give it a try. And especially as interest in healthy eating continues to grow. This time of year, late April, May through early June, is the time for backyard gardeners to make room for that family favorite. And it's good for you. Popcorn. It's a dent corn relative, and it's one of the best all-around snack foods you can munch on. It provides almost as much protein, iron, and calcium as beef. A cup of popped, unbuttered popcorn contains fewer calories than half a medium-sized grapefruit, about 40 calories. Popcorn is a whole grain, and that means it has as much fiber as bran flakes or whole wheat toast. And if you've never tasted homegrown popcorn, you are in for a treat. Unlike the drab sameness of store-bought hybrid popcorn, there are many different kinds available for the home gardener via catalogs, nurseries, and seed stores. But as we found out last week, listening to Renee Shepherd of Renee's Garden Seed Company, seeds are getting hard to come by in this era of coronavirus. So if you're looking for popcorn seeds, you might want to start at your local big box store or local hardware store, then go to the nursery. And if that doesn't work, try online and see if they have any popcorn seed left. Some of the better outlets for heirloom popcorn seed include the Southern Exposure Seed Exchange, as well as Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. And you'll find them occasionally as well at Burpee Seed Company, Park Seed Company, Johnny's, and Harris. Now, you're probably familiar with the traditional big and chewy movie-style yellow hybrid popcorn. Well, you can choose among several smaller, crunchier white varieties, and that includes many heirlooms as well as hybrid varieties. And you know, for fall decorations, it's hard to beat the colorful popcorns that include blue, red, and black kernels. Now, a word or two about heirloom versus hybrid popcorn. What do we mean by that? Well, hybrid varieties are bred to produce more cobs per stalk as well as larger cobs. And hybrid popcorns tend to pop up bigger as well. Well, that sounds really good, doesn't it? There is a downside. The seed you collect from your popcorn harvest from hybrid popcorn will not come back true to the original if you plant it again the following year. Heirloom popcorn tends to have the same problems as other heirloom vegetables. They're more susceptible to insect and disease problems. It's a smaller harvest and smaller kernels. But there is one big upside to growing heirloom popcorn, and that's better flavor. Plus, if you planted the heirloom popcorn away from other varieties of corn, the kernels you collect this year can be planted again the following year, the result being the same great flavor. Among my favorite heirloom popcorn seeds to grow include Wisconsin Black, Dakota Black, Cherokee Longear, but my favorite is Pennsylvania Butterflavor Popcorn. The time to plant your popcorn, usually late May through June, anytime in there, and you would plant popcorn the same way you would plant sweet corn. By the way, don't ever plant sweet corn and popcorn together. You'll have two conflicted crops. You might break a tooth when chomping down on an ear of sweet corn, and the popcorn won't be popcorn. It won't pop up. So to repeat, you have to separate the distance that you plant sweet corn from popcorn by quite a distance. But if you're growing popcorn by itself, isolated, and none of your nearby neighbors are growing sweet corn, you should be okay. So what does a popcorn require to grow? Much of the same requirements as sweet corn. Full sun, a soil that drains easily, no standing water. And what you do is you plant the kernels about 2 inches deep, 6 inches apart. Now, for better pollination, don't plant them in a single row. Plant them in squares, in short blocks. They're wind pollinated, and that aids the pollination. Thin out the seedlings when they come up to stand about 10 to 12 inches apart. When it comes to fertilizing popcorn, three fertilizations work best: at planting time, when the stalks are knee-high, and again when the tassels appear at the top of the stalks. Because popcorn can grow tall, 6 or 7 feet tall, it does use a lot of nitrogen to get growing. Perhaps choose a high nitrogen fertilizer where the nitrogen is about twice the amount of phosphorus and potassium. The numbers on the bag of fertilizer would say something like 10-5-5 or 8-4-4. No need to get the really super duper heavy stuff nitrogen fertilizers. Those ones in the single digit would just be fine. You want to irrigate the popcorn thoroughly once or twice a week. And then stand back and wait. Watch those stalks grow. Usually early fall is the time when you're going to be harvesting your popcorn. Here in California, it's early October. The stalks will be mostly brown, the husks will be dry, and the kernels will be hard. So wait for those stalks to turn completely brown before you start harvesting those cobs of popcorn. When will it be ready? Try popping a few kernels on the stove in a pan of hot oil at this stage. If most of them pop, that's your sign to remove the ears from the rest of the stalks in your garden. Strip the outer covering from the ears, the husks, and then place those cobs of corn with the kernels still intact in a mesh bag or an old nylon stocking to cure for 2 or 3 weeks in a warm, dry, ventilated area. After that period of time, pop a few kernels again. If they pop, then strip the kernels from the cobs and store the kernels in an airtight container in a cool, dry place. Now, if that popcorn you munch on is a little chewy, that means it's still too wet. Let the kernels dry some more, popping a few every couple of days until the popcorn is no longer chewy is the way to go. Now, if you get too many unpopped kernels, add moisture to the storage container. Pour a tablespoon of water over that quart of popcorn kernels. Shake it up a couple of times on day one. By day three, try popping up another batch. Repeat this procedure until most of the kernels are popping. Probably the most difficult part about growing popcorn, and this is where the whole family can join in, is stripping the kernels from the cob. It's a little difficult. It's a little hard. Buy a cheap pair of gloves and wear those. Or you can buy this device that a lot of seed companies sell. It's called the Little Stripper. Okay, now that your imagination has run wild, let me tell you exactly what the Little Stripper is. It's actually a cone-shaped device that fits over the ear of popcorn. It has plastic or metal ribs on the inside, and you turn it as you go down the cob, and that strips off the kernels. Again, you can find this online. I think the Jung Seed Company may have some. And then again, storage is important. You want to store the kernels in an airtight container in a cool, dry place. And be sure to label it. Date it as well. And you want to put the name of the variety on there, because if your family really likes it, well, then you can set aside a small bag of those kernels to plant next year. If you want more information about growing popcorn, check out the Farmer Fred Rant blog page and look for the post called Grow Your Own Popcorn. One thing I always like to do during this time of sheltering in place is to refer back to what Brooke Anderson wrote. She's with the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley, and she posted 6 daily quarantine questions. Something to think about while you're sheltered in place. Number 1, what are you grateful for today? Right now, I'm grateful for the view of the California poppies growing in my side yard. The sun is hitting it at just an angle. It is just exploding the bright orange color of those California poppy flowers. Absolutely gorgeous. Who are you checking in on or connecting with today? It's always nice to write someone who lives alone, ask them how they're doing, maybe a phone call. It could be as simple as when you're on your daily walk or in a store, just smiling at somebody. Smiles are free, but they go such a long way. Question 3, what expectations of normal am I letting go of today? Well, I think we're all wondering about what the future holds for us. How different will it be? Is there going to be school in the fall? Is there going to be sporting events this year? We don't know. So until things settle down, we just have to make our own fun and maybe get our own education as well. Question 4, how are you getting outside today? Well, gardening is one great way to get outside. I went out this morning and tended to my young tomato and pepper crop, seeing how it's doing, getting ready for planting day. How are you moving your body today? That's question 5. Well, exercise and gardening go together. Just think, if you're moving mulch in a wheelbarrow or pulling weeds, and there's plenty of weeds this time of year, you're getting some good exercise. And plus that daily walk to see how all your neighbors are doing, how their yards are doing. And don't forget, some of the best plant ideas are in your neighbors' yards. You don't have to steal their plants, but you could steal their ideas. And question 6, what beauty are you either creating, cultivating, or inviting in today? Maybe open up the shades on your windows, look outside, see what's growing, look at the birds, look at the animals, look at life. That coronavirus doesn't realize it's springtime where we are, and spring is a great time of the year. Thank you for listening to Garden Basics with Farmer Fred. I appreciate you listening. Would you please subscribe? You can find the podcast at Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Podcast Attic, and hey Alexa, play the Garden Basics with Farmer Fred podcast. Thank you.
When evergreens get a new set of leaves, they will lose an old set, and so there will be yellow leaves. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There will be yellow leaves.
Let's let it ring through first, because I'm sure my dogs will start barking any time as well. So there's that.
Okay, my husband took care of it, I think.
Oh, I thought you threw it across the room. Okay.